30.
Well, it is 9:30, and I'd say it's time now for the Tuesday talk show right here on KJO. We have county commissioners in studio today, Commissioner Ron Smith, Colleen Martin, and Gary Richardson. Everybody, welcome aboard. How are you guys doing today?
Great.
Good.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Excellent. It's great having you all in here. So I guess, well, let's get started, shall we? I think one thing we wanted to talk a little bit more about today was they're creating a pathway, I understand.
Yeah, for a problem area within the county. Devil's Slide has been a challenging location for many years because of homeless and vagrants camping out there and deciding that it's okay to burn a fire anytime you want, even inside your tent. So
my word.
ODF came to the county and asked if we would allow them permission to improve that road access, which we were happy to do. Mm-hmm. We just want it in writing. So there's no – that was a combination with Rural Metro. Because those are the guys that are tasked with taking care of those fires.
Right.
So we want to help them with access. Access to fighting fires is a huge deal.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially with how dry it has already been. I know we've already experienced a couple little fires here and there. But thankfully, they've been able to take care of them real quickly, which just we got to commend our fire crews for that. But this will help with ease of access.
Yes. That's the whole point.
And we got really good feedback from the community. We had two neighborhood different groups in that area that reached out to us with letters of support encouraging us to follow through on it. So that when we get those letters, that's really, really helpful. So I encourage people when you think of something that you either support or you don't support, we like to hear from you. It's really important that we get your feedback. So when you have two neighborhoods that say, yes, please do this to protect us, we recognize that. So thanks to them.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's going to be such a big help, but also to kind of remove the homeless situation up there. Is that part of it as well?
Part of it. We have the right, as far as our codes go, to take these homeless encampments and get them off of public property. We have the right as a county. It's part of our codes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that could possibly cause a hindrance if firemen are trying to get up to a certain area and that path is blocked.
Well, there never really was a good access to that. It was more or less a trail. You could take a quad up there, but you can't get access with a fire truck, and that's what this whole issue is about, getting fire trucks up there.
Right.
Yes.
Well, that'll be very beneficial.
And there's a huge community watch organization up there that is just thrilled with the idea that we're helping this get done.
That's excellent. Yeah, lots of good feedback, like you were saying, Colleen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good to hear.
So just for the public to know, they'll be starting on that project this week, so... They'll be working the fire hours, like 5 in the morning, so
oof.
5 to 1, something like that. So,
yeah. Right. What's that process looking like for them?
They'll probably have to take a piece of equipment up there and actually make the road wider. I don't think they're looking to make anything like a Taj Mahal or a superhighway. It's just going to be a road that's adequate for fire trucks.
Yeah, something manageable, something easy,
yeah,
but still sturdy and sure, it's going to stay in place.
Got to be big enough for a fire truck.
Brilliant. Well, that's good that that's going through then, helping out quite a bit.
Yeah.
And now, let's see. I did want to ask you guys a little bit about some of the administrative policy changes recently. More so, it sounds like, not really changes, but just going back to basics.
Some of it's a going backwards to a policy that worked in the past that was changed recently. But there's some other things, and I'll let my other commissioners speak to some of this.
Absolutely.
Oftentimes, you go one place and because you think it's better over there, but once you get there, it's really not as great as you thought it was. And a little bit that happens with policy, and things got moved to where the commissioners had to make all sorts of decisions, that some of which could have been made better farther down in the organization. And so we're moving back to a more better balance for that.
Gotcha. How did the community have you gotten some feedback on that as well?
I haven't received a whole lot about that.
A little bit. I would say they want us to make sure that we have the oversight, and I think that message is clear. And we do have a lot of oversight, and I don't know that, you know, it's really hard to be transparent, and transparency is key to something that we all strive to do. But it's really hard to be transparent in a short meeting, but... we do try to do that, and to do that and then show you the work that we're doing, because we're on public camera maybe an hour a day or 2 hours different days. but in the back, we're still working. We're doing things. We're seeing a lot of oversight. So we have a lot of oversight that people don't see, is I guess what I would add to that. We're managing with it. We're working with our managers, our department leads. And so I don't think those are people things that people see. So we are working in the back of it too, the back of the house, I guess you'd say.
Right. And making sure, though, that folks then can see what you're working on while you're on camera, but also just in general.
And exactly. And then the efficiencies for our staff and making sure that they're getting things done quickly. It can take a long time to get through some processes in government, as we all know. It's one of our major frustrations as a citizen, how long government takes. So
it's a process.
Yeah, I think a lot of times people really don't understand the inner workings of county government. And they don't under, I think they overestimate sometimes the power and authority that commissioners have. We are dictated so much by the state what we can and cannot do. If we had total autonomy to make decisions that were best for Josephine County, things could be really different here. But we don't. I wish we did sometimes.
Well, yeah, I get what's the quote from To Kill a Mockingbird? It's like you never fully understand someone until you take a walk in their shoes.
Yeah.
I paraphrase, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, it's like until you're there, it's a mystery.
I think a lot of people really don't care as long as it doesn't affect them.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because you do these things and you listen to the public and you take care of those things, but there's other stuff that they're just, they're, in our minds, sometimes they're huge issues, but it's not even on the public's radar because it's not going to affect them.
Man, it's kind of over here somewhere.
Yeah, it's over there somewhere, yeah.
Something else.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, though, that they're providing, again, more of that transparency.
Yeah.
And going through the process, letting them know at least what's going on.
Well, I think to play off of those two, the idea of transparency in some people's minds is that they get to see everything. Well, that's not possible. I mean, we have almost 400 employees all working essentially full time. There is no way to make that show up in some kind of a public meeting so that people know everything that's being done by those 400 people. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we want to be transparent, but there's no way to reflect that much work in the public meetings that we have.
Right, unless everyone was wearing a GoPro, but probably don't need to be doing that.
Actually, that's an interesting thing. There's something of an old joke about if you take pictures of everything you're doing all day, when are you going to watch the pictures you're taking all day, every day?
Yeah.
You would have to be able to live your life twice.
Oh, man.
You know, it's funny about that word transparency. We are very – county government's absolutely transparent, more so than state or federal government. Mm-hmm. They can find out anything they want. We just recently hired a very qualified public information officer. Mm-hmm. If you have a question out there as one of our citizens, just put an information request out there. All of those documents – everything we do is documented and open for public scrutiny. So we are very transparent, but you got to ask the right questions.
Right. And you guys have let folks know that they can come to you directly.
All of us have a very open door policy. We're happy to meet with anybody anytime. That's our job.
Yeah. Well, and that's actually, you provide that.
Yeah.
I know that will probably help a lot of folks be like, okay, we're in good hands here.
Yeah.
Yeah. How often do folks come to you guys, just out of curiosity?
I think we get a lot of emails and some phone calls. Generally around specific issues. The hot topic has been code enforcement, and that's getting handled and addressed. But I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about code enforcement because you have solid waste, which is one set of the codes. You have building codes, which is another set of the codes, and there's a whole bunch of codes out there. If you've ever looked at the county codes, do it. It's online. You can look up Josephine County codes. Mm-hmm. You'll see there's a whole lot of codes that don't fall in either of those categories.
Okay.
So code enforcement, when you use the word code enforcement, you actually, it's a misnomer because are we talking about building codes? Or are we talking about solid waste violations? What part of the code are we talking about?
So you got to specify.
you do. You have to be very specific about what you're looking for. Yeah, but it's available. Anything they want to know is available.
Yeah, right there on your website.
Yeah, and through information request.
Of course, yes.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Well, I think we might take a moment here, pay some bills here, but we'll be right back after this quick word.
Ready to own the site.
It is 941, 76 degrees in South Grants Pass. Tuesday Talk Show continues right here on KJO with our county commissioners. And don't forget, starting up in the 10 o'clock hour, we'll have a chance for you to give a call and let us know if you have any questions for our county commissioners here in studio today. Glad again you guys are here. Well, let's chat a little bit about coming up today during your county administration workshop. Looks like there's some board business about a proposed removal of Murphy Dam. The Applegate River.
Yeah, it's our friendly, our, should I say, not so friendly water watch. Same ones who worked on getting Savage Rapids Dam and so many other dams taken out. They got their eyeballs on every dam, on every river, and every stream around here. We as a community should resist this. Mm-hmm. This irrigation dam's been there over 120 years. There's never been a harmful for fish pastures. I don't think that Savage Rapids Dam was a harm to fish passage, but they use a high-dollar litigation to strong-arm people to basically fold on those proposals. That's what happened to the Grants Pass Irrigation District. Mm. It's the same kind of method they're trying to use on Murphy Creek Irrigation Dam.
I see. So as far as the removal of this process goes, how did this all come about? I'm kind of curious.
Water Watch, like I said, wants to pull out every dam. Pomeroy Dam out in the Illinois Valley was an irrigation dam, low-level irrigation dam that supplied irrigation primarily to about a 1,000-acre ranch. Mm-hmm. It was never a problem with fish passage because it was low enough in the winter fish could go over it. But yet they somehow got permission to take an excavator into the Illinois River without an environmental impact statement. Now, if you and I wanted to do something in the river, take a piece of equipment in it, we'd never get permission. How does Water Watch have such clout? I want to know. Hmm. I'm concerned because I've dealt with this outfit a lot of years, and they hinder a lot of productive issues. Water's a key for our farmers and ranchers that have to have water. So this dam removal not only will affect those ranchers and farmers, but probably affect many of the wells in the local area and hinder firefighting because it is an area that they can use their helicopters to get water for fire.
Pick it up from there.
But when they take that dam out, that'll probably be gone.
Really?
So it's an issue we should fight back against. And we have a letter ready. We're going to discuss this later today.
Right. Yeah. Any thoughts you two on this matter as well?
Well, our concern is for the people that use the irrigation throughout that system, and that's it's a fairly large system, and we need to be protecting the citizens that are using that. They come in with very expensive attorneys, and it's really hard to fight back. So that's where you don't have the money to fight back. And so we as a community, we just kind of need a grassroots effort from the community to step up and say, this is what we want to protect this particular dam. With Pomeroy Dam, when that happened very quickly. It came up very fast, and it feels like the same situation with this one. It came quickly. Unknown. Some things you know are coming, at least with the legislature. You start hearing about things 6 months ahead of time. This came really quickly, and decisions have to be made very quickly. So if people are concerned, I hope that they do make an effort to write a letter to, and we can get that information for you, where you want to send a letter to at our office for you.
Yeah, the letters need to go to DEQ, and we have a deadline of June 29th. So it's closing
down
in
to the
on
pipeline.
Us.
Yeah.
What needs to happen is, and I've been involved in some of these types of things, is need a grassroots organization that's willing to take the effort to create a movement that's as big and as powerful as Water Watch to combat them. There's, I don't know if you know where Seats Dam is on the Rough and Ready Creek. Seats Dam has been there a long time. It supplies water to the old Rough and Ready mill site, but it also supplies water to the Illinois Valley Airport. They want to take that dam out.
Okay.
Now, there's a gentleman that wants to do economic development at the old Rough and Ready mill site. This is going to hurt him if that dam gets removed. And so the people in Illinois Valley better get together and decide they don't want that dam move, because there's going to be some economic development there at that old rough and ready mill site, but it's not going to be able to be what it could be without that water.
Yeah, a lot of different places being affected.
If they had their way, they'd pull out all the Grand Coulee Dam and all the dams on the Snake River. They got their eyeball on Applegate and Lost Creek.
That's curious. I guess I'm still trying to wrap my head around.
Go to thewaterwatch.org and look at their mission statement. Spend some time looking at that. You'll see what their objective is, to remove every single dam there is.
I gotcha.
If we lost Lost Creek Dam, it would be a major problem for our community at so many levels. And Lost Creek is low. I was just up there this weekend. It was very low. And with fire seasons, the season that we're getting, the Army Corps of Engineers is doing a really good job letting the flows out as needed to protect the fish up there, to protect the fish downstream. So it's quite a science that that has to happen with that, and I think they do a pretty amazing job. And then to just pull it out, the economic damages to the community and waterways and so many facets of that. And back to the Applegate Dam, that is not hurting fish. The fish have an easy way through. They don't have these big fish ladders that they have to climb. It's an easy in and an easy out for those fish, because it's a shallow dam.
Gotcha. And they build those in intentionally to be able to.
They did, yeah.
What's funny about this whole situation is they're not required, Water Watch is not required to prove that this is harmful to fish. Why are they not? This was the whole guise of pulling out these dams because they're harmful to fish, but yet they don't have to prove that that's the case. I think that's very strange, and why do they get a pass on that? If you wanted to build a dam today, you would have to go through so many environmental hoops. It would be amazing, but they could pull them out without going through any environmental hoops. Strange.
So during this part of your meeting, about this proposed removal, you'll be presenting this letter. Is that right?
We have a letter, yes, ready to go. We have to get this in by the 29th.
Okay.
To have any impact. And I would really like to see the community get more involved in this. I'll see if we can get the necessary information back up on our webpage as soon as I get back to the office, so people have a location to send their comments to. But this is right along the lines of IP-28.
Okay. That's very important.
Yes, very important.
Yes. Gary, any thoughts on this one?
Kind of like the other two commissioners have said, it appeared rather suddenly, and I haven't had much time to look into the issue. I always wonder what's the most efficient way to get the water out for irrigation purposes and stuff like that. I haven't actually really had time to look into the Applegate Dam at all.
Gotcha. Hey, no worries.
Sorry, the one in Murphy on the Applegate.
Oh, gotcha. Well, definitely a hot topic then coming up, and that'll be your 1:30 p.m. meeting today coming up at the in the BCC conference room. Quite a few meetings that you have kind of going on today, including one with the city council or some members of the council. Maybe we'll chat about that real quick in just a moment. We'll take another break right here on KJO.
Identity theft can cause one pint at a time.
It is 9:51. Tuesday Talk Show continues here with our county commissioners. Sounds like coming up at 11 today, you all are meeting up with some members of city council for your monthly update. Now, I know the last one had to be postponed or canceled, but this one looks like a similar agenda is on the way.
It is. We just carried over that agenda for this time. We're going to talk about the banners on 6th and 7th Street. It's kind of a cumbersome process that people have to go through to get a banner on 6th and 7th Street. And those banners are very effective advertising.
Oh, yeah.
They've been there for years and years. And so you have to go through ODOT. You've got to go through the city of Grants Pass, and the county has to sign off. So you're going through three different governments to put up a little banner on 6th and 7th Street. So we're going to just try to discuss a process that might be more streamlined.
Okay, make it a little easier for folks. Yeah, because the back and forth, I'm sure that is a time-consuming process.
It is. It's very cumbersome, is what I'm told. So we're going to work. I don't know what ideas. We'll collaborate with them and see what if they have some ideas. And we're certainly open to the ideas as well.
Excellent. So there's that. But then also, of course, it's a very big year for our country, the 4th of July celebration collaboration. Some thoughts coming up with that.
We want to make a big splash.
I mean, 250 years, it's pretty big.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we planted some, we had our facilities, they planted some pretty red, white, and blue flowers in front of the courthouse, so that we're coming along. We're going to light up the courthouse red, white, and blue over that weekend and put some bunting out. We just want to encourage people. People get involved in, you know, they're involved in their family, their picnics and on the river and on the water. Just be safe. Just be safe with your fireworks. It's something we say every year, but I think we just need to be, we can't say it more than 7 times a day without you really having to make an impact, because it's so important this year, because we are, with the fire levels going up so quickly by the 4th of July, I expect them to be at extreme, and we've got to be diligent with safety, with fireworks, and we want everybody to have a good time, but keep it in contained.
Yes, have some water handy.
Yeah, I think last year we even had a fire. You know, a lot of people go to Safeway, watch the fireworks. There was a fire there, burnt the whole landscape right there in the city.
Oh, my word.
It was. It wasn't a lot. It wasn't a big fire. They were there in quick time, but it happens.
Yeah, even so, quick or not, we don't want those happening.
Exactly. Yeah, it kind of.
I know the city has a big deal planned for Reinhardt Park, All Sports Park.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be huge, and they're encouraging people to take a shuttle. I can't remember where the shuttle goes, but that's a great time because they'll light off fireworks there, which is a safer location because the grounds are going to be well wetted. But it's going to be a huge crowd. I think that's going to be a fun event.
Rotary's doing a concert out at the RCC Bowl. They have a band playing out there. You can look on one of the Rotary Facebook pages, I'm sure, and sign up there to attend. You do need to make a reservation to go to that.
Okay.
So they're doing something there. And then there's a group that's going to be reading at 11 o'clock the proclamation.
Declaration.
A Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
Excuse me. At 11 o'clock at the courthouse. So
yes.
Lots of festivities.
I've heard Judy mention that a time or two.
Judy Ahrens, I just enjoy her so much because she really reminds us of events that are important to us.
Yeah,
absolutely, she does. Yeah, it's very sweet. Every now and then she'll bring on by some cupcakes or things she's baked, and just it's incredibly sweet.
And she picks up a lot of trash in the
she
community.
Does.
So she's a great asset to our community.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of those very nice activists.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's going to be just a huge 4th of July. It sounds like, and I know a lot of folks are excited. So excited to hear what the rest of you guys come up with during your meeting today. Looks like just the rest of it, it's a general discussion, but
yeah.
But yeah.
We're looking for something that we always look for, even with everybody, we're looking for common ground.
Yeah.
I think that's something we should be looking for across all party lines is common ground.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the common ground here in Josephine County right now, I could say be economics. And maybe fire prevention.
Yes.
So those are things I think everybody could agree upon, and I'd like to see us focus on finding common ground.
Well, absolutely.
Because so much of the time we're at loggerheads over things that are not common, but there's a lot of common ground that we could bring up and use to better our community.
Oh, well, and what better way than this collaboration with the
that's one step in the right direction.
Well, yeah. Hopefully one of the things we'll talk about, there was a House bill that has some projects for infrastructure, for economic development stuff. So it's probably unlikely that we would be able to get one of those grants, but the state did set aside some money. And so we're going to be discussing a little bit the possibility of trying to collaborate to get that grant for some sewage infrastructure in the North Valley area.
So okay.
We'll see if we can get any collaboration on that going.
Right on. good to take care of that, definitely.
Well, that's going to need to be done before we'll have any expansion at the North Valley Industrial Park. But also, there's some big things that want to be going on at the airport, and without that sewer hookup, there's going to be a challenge for that to get done. So it's hindering economic development. And from my understanding about this grant that the state's putting out, they're only going to approve 15 projects.
Oh,
so
okay.
So we've got to be Johnny on the stick to get this.
Yeah. Ones? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, sewage sounds very like one that will benefit just about everybody.
Well, that's the kind of infrastructure project that government has to do. Mm-hmm. Private industry is not going to do that. They're just going to migrate to where that already exists. Mm-hmm. So if we want economic development here in Josephine County, we need to work on those infrastructure projects, both here in Grants Pass and Cape Junction.
Right on. Well, we'll get to chatting about some more of this here in a bit. And just a reminder, of course, that we'll be taking some phone calls here very, very soon right here on the Tuesday Talk Show on KJO.
Dave.
All righty. Tuesday Talk Show continues right here with our county commissioners. Let's see. You guys just got to experience. It was airport days.
We did, right? Yes.
Yeah, there was a lot of things going on at airports. It was fun. The helicopters, airplanes. Lots of people, vendors out there. It was good. A little challenging because at that same time, there was a big Father's Day celebration up Pottsville.
Oh, yeah.
And at the same time, they had Porch Fest at the same time.
It was a big weekend for dads.
It was. There was something going on everywhere you turned. So it was fun,
a three-day weekend for a lot of people who left town. So it was a busy weekend.
Yeah, it sounded like a lot of fun. I wasn't able to make it out there, but lots of custom planes. I know Dutch Bros had a plane. There were just planes and all planes, trains, automobiles, everything. And like you were saying, vendors. We had the folks putting it on in here before.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's great for kids to get out there and. You know, they see them flying in the sky, and it's so much fun to see them up close, and it's a great experience for kids. So we encourage. I thank the people at the airport, the team that put that together. They did a really good job. And speaking of thanks, I think it's a good time to thank our. We have a lot of advisory committees within the county that help us along the way, and I think it's a really good time to thank them. So, law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, law enforcement definitely always jolly on the spot and helping us out.
Yeah. We have the law enforcement advisory committee. We have the airport advisory committee. And all of these advisory committees give us a better perspective from the public's point of view. Because sometimes you get in that office of ours and you're kind of insulated from what's happening on the ground level or at the citizen level. So advisory committees are very important.
Absolutely.
Yep, and we have the Economic Development Committee that's going to get started up later in this fall and to take the applications and see what we can do for some more economic development here in the county.
Always a good thing there.
Yeah.
We're taking applications for that, too. So if you have any interest in economic development, we need to get some people on that committee. So we encourage people to apply because we'll hopefully get that going in September so that we can get some dollars. The state sends us money annually, and we'd like to get that money back out into the community.
Excellent. So to those of you listening, make sure if you're interested. Well, is that available on your website?
It is. It's not yet.
Okay.
Thomas is working on that because we're still working on the process is done. It just we need to get the committee formed. So I encourage people, not just for the money that needs to be spent, but the people that care about the community, that have concern about economic development, how that money gets spent are the people that we want on this committee.
Absolutely.
So we encourage them to apply. You can do that online on our website.
Sweet. And speaking of you all listening, if you would like, you can always give us a jingle, 472-1270. If you have any questions or comments for our commissioners, be sure to give us a call. And once you hear us talking through your phone line, you'll know you are next in queue. Again, that is 472-1270. If you have any questions, yes, we'll be.
I think the next thing we could talk about is what's on our agenda tomorrow, which is our budget committee, which is I don't even want to go backwards because we've been through it. We've actually done the whole budget process, and it's been a really great process. We had a great team of people that, including staff, including the volunteers that help us on the committee. It was a good process, and we're ready to get that finalized tomorrow. So,
excellent.
Anybody interested in that, tune in tomorrow at 9 o'clock to the weekly business session. We encourage you to come.
That weekly business session will consist of three public meetings. One is about Cave Camp Road reauthorizing legality because you'd have to get involved. The road has not been in its easement for several years, so we have to reauthorize that and make that legal. That's one public hearing. And then there's a public hearing on the I think there's four public hearings, one on an OSU extension budget, one on the law enforcement service district budget, and then our supplemental budget and our regular budget. I think we're going to be pretty busy tomorrow.
Looks like it, yeah. One, yeah. Two, three, four. Yep. There they are.
Yeah.
You know, now, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like I remember some of those were on the previous weekly business session.
They were.
Okay. Is this just a continuation?
This is where we're going to finalize those.
Finalizing, okay.
This is the finalization of it. The 24th, we're going to be done with the budget process so we can move on to important issues besides money.
Right.
I would like to see us focus more on income than pinching pennies on the outgo.
Gotcha. Well, and yeah, because that has been, it's been a bit of a process, making sure that everything's finalized, good to go.
It's really tough when your county's 60 to 70% dependent upon grants and fees. It's not the old days when we had, you know, $16 million in ONC funds when we could just lavish money on everybody. We have to run a pretty tight ship because of the economic climate in the state and at the federal level, and then everything that's going on in the international level.
Right.
All of it affects us.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, the finances
are... It's trickle down, and we're the last ones on the line of the trickle.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I know. Finances are tough these days.
Yes.
Everybody's struggling in their pocketbooks, and every government is as well. So we're all having to watch where our money goes, and we're trying to be very diligent and careful with what we do with that. And, of course, our biggest expense is always personnel. Mm-hmm. But the roads don't get paved by themselves, and things don't happen. You can't talk on the radio without a DJ, right?
True.
There's a lot to it. There's a lot to keep Josephine County going, and we, again, thank our staff for that. They're doing a great job doing that, and I know Public Works will be out there this week I think they're starting this week doing their seal coating.
Okay.
So we might be watching out for them. They usually do, I think, about 30 miles a year of reseal coating roads. So
wow.
Yeah,
they'll be busy. And we did, I know it's Rob Brandis is back with us out there, so we're excited to have him back. He's has a lot of institutional knowledge that he brought with him that I think is going to be really change the public, bring it back to what it was before originally. Public Works get all of its funding from the state transportation, gas tax dollars, transportation dollars. So it doesn't come out of your pocket. It's the taxpayers aren't paying for that. But they so we're happy to have Rob back because he knows how to get those dollars from the state that we need to get to Josephine County. So
perfect.
It was really important to get him back.
And you know, we are finalizing the budget. The budget's balanced, and that's great. And
that's got to be a sigh of relief, right there.
A little bit. But as Commissioner Smith said, looking to the future and like our five-year projection, without additional revenue, essentially just based on our personnel costs and contracts and step raises, things of that nature, next year we're going to have like $1.5 million less to spend.
Wow.
So we finish this one and it's time to start looking at the next one.
Yes.
To get ready for if there's no way to get additional revenue, we need to start the planning for how we're going to reduce that $1.5 million for next year.
Right, and that was that graph that you showed. I think that was the weekly business session.
Right.
Yes. Thank you for providing that, by the way. I was looking at that. I was like, okay, it looks like there will be some work in the coming down the pipeline. But
right. So, yep, it's gonna take some work. And the sooner you plan for that stuff, it's the easier it is on everybody. You don't want step changes, things of that nature. And, of course, the what do you want to call it? The elephant in the room is going to be the jail and juvenile justice levy. That's expired this year. This is our last year. And so if we want funding for next year, has to either be renewed. It would have to be renewed before June 30th of next year.
By next year, yeah. We have either November or May to get that renewed. We're going to actually talk about that this morning.
I was going to say, Sheriff Dave Daniels is probably going to bring that to you.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Yeah. Huge issue. That levy for the jail needs to pass, or that's going to put a tremendous hit on the general fund.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And that's our reserve fund.
And it's important for the public to remember we have two funding mechanisms for the sheriff's department. One is the jail and juvenile department, and one is the deputies that are out there, and that's the district that was passed a couple years ago. It's actually provided some really great stabilized funding for the sheriff's department, and I think that the sheriff's has done an amazing job getting deputies back on the road. He's working on it. If you have the desire to be a deputy or in the police force, he is hiring. So I encourage you to apply. Or if you want to work in the jail, if you ever have that want to be in public service and help out with that, I think it's a great opportunity for young people.
Yeah, great chance to serve the community.
And I may be a little bit in the minority, but I'm certainly going to be talking about the possibility of, instead of doing a levy, doing an actual service district for the that portion of the funding. I think it would be better for the community long term to create a stable floor for that, as opposed to having it be this all or nothing election that would cause, I forget, it's going to be like a $9 million hole in the budget for next year if it doesn't pass. I think it'd be much preferable for the community to create a service district to cover that, maybe at even a slightly reduced level. That way we don't go to zero. We wouldn't see that issue we had like in 2012 where they laid all the sheriff's deputies off type of thing.
Might.
It wasn't that long ago we passed that levy. It was 2017. So we've had that levy for 10 years at the same number. So 93 cents. So it's been the same for 10 years.
So part of our job as commissioners is to inform the public of why this is so important. You know, for years and years and years, close to 100 years, we relied on timber receipts to fund county government, and we had a fully funded county government and a fully funded sheriff's department. Those days are behind us. Hopefully, we get some more out of that coming up. But so now we have to look at a county that's kind of spoiled, because 1970, 1980, we had zero property tax.
Wow.
And that property tax is still the lowest property tax rate in the state. So we're sitting in a county that is, you see it all the time, no new taxes. So the question is, if you don't want to pay the taxes, what services are you willing to give up? Because that's our business as county is to provide services for the general public.
Right.
But we can only provide the services that we have money to fund. So if we're going to have a funding shortfall, we have to hear from the citizens on what services they want to give up, because that's going to be the bottom line.
Gotcha. Well, we'll take a quick break right here on KJO, and we'll get back to the Tuesday talk show in just about 2 minutes.
Security cannot be...
It is 10:17 and 78 degrees here in South Grants Pass. We're continuing with our Tuesday talk show with the county commissioners. And a reminder, if you have any questions for our commissioners, give us a call at 472-1270. Once you hear us talking through your phone line, you'll know you are next in queue to ask your question or give your comment. We have about a little less than 15 minutes to go here. Any other pressing topics we might have missed that we want to make sure folks are aware of?
I think fire season is probably the one that's on most people's mind right now.
Tis
we had a very
season,
good
yeah.
presentation from all the professional firefighters came to Dennis Richardson, Commissioner Richardson, I'll put that on. We had all the professional firefighters there. Very encouraging that these guys are all together and well-organized and pretty well-prepared for almost anything. But now we're going to put it back on the citizens. Please, please be careful with fire out there. It's an abnormally dry season.
Right.
So, and they have changed their philosophy.
Yes.
The fire agencies, depending on which one you were talking to, some of them didn't have the philosophy to put it out just as fast as possible. This year, all the fire agencies are, as soon as it starts, we are going to try and put it out. So
excellent.
That's a little bit of a change, and we're really happy to hear that.
Oh, yeah. So encouraging. And they've done such a great job for
years now.
They
did a great job
now.
On Wes Jones a couple of weeks or a week ago. That was an eye-opener for sure. I know that and Commissioner Richardson has been making it kind of a game with us and our staff to know your code.
Oh,
but
yes.
It is it's super important that you do know those codes. It happened to my daughter-in-law's parents during the Wes Jones fire. They were evacuated, but they were out of town, and so the kids had to go over and get the dog. So I think it's really important not to know your own code. GRA224 is mine.
Brilliant.
very good.
I had to learn that. I was coerced. But I think it's really important to know your families. Learn mm-hmm. what, and I think it's really important to teach your children, teach your kids, because sometimes they might be the first one to see that there's a fire happening. You're busy at work doing something or somewhere, and the kids might be hearing about it. And so it's really important to include your entire family in what that looks like.
And get your information updated on the cell phone applications so you get the mm-hmm. notifications and stuff like that. It's really important.
Definitely good to. I believe we are in zone GRA166 right now.
Oh, nice.
And I live in GRA171, if my memory serves. So I knew you were coming. I was like, I better make sure I know this.
Good job. Excellent.
Something about that West Jones fire that I want to bring to the public's attention.
Mm-hmm.
That fire was started by somebody mowing their lawn.
Oh, yeah.
And most likely mowing dry grass.
Mm-hmm.
That individual is going to be, if the state decides, he's have to pay for that firefighting effort. So not only is it wise not to be the guy that starts a fire, it's going to be a lot cheaper on you if you don't.
Definitely.
So be careful with your lawnmowers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fires start from lawnmowers. Or don't mow dry grass. It's too late.
Right. And there are those restrictions in place.
Yes,
that we
there
gotta...
are. But I just wanted people to know that was started by a lawnmower. It wasn't malicious.
Mm-mm.
It just was a lack of common sense of thinking, you know, I hit a rock, it caused a spark, this grass is so dry, boom.
Yeah.
And that could have been a dreadful fire, because there's only one way out on East and Jones Creek, and that fire was right in the middle of both of them.
Yeah.
And the wind, the thing that saved those firefighters in that fire was the wind changed direction and blew the fire back on itself.
Man, oh man.
It was really, hey, alarm 1, 2, 3, and they were concerned about going alarm 4
and
5.
Yeah, that went up real fast.
Yeah, because the wind was blowing.
Mm-hmm.
But then the wind shifted and blew it back on itself, and that's what helped them.
Definitely a praise the Lord moment there. I remember seeing that, and I was like, wow, that was fast. But yeah, no, the wind's changing, and the firefighters' efforts, glad they were out there.
Yeah, a big kudos to the firefighters for jumping on that and maintaining the pressure on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Until the wind came along and helped them.
Yes.
It didn't turn into an Alameda fire.
No, we don't need any more of those.
No, we don't.
Yeah, and they have just done such an amazing job. Just again, huge kudos to our firemen.
Thanks to them. One more thing I think I want to remind the public is I think we have one more concert from the Parks Department is doing. We have concerts in the park tonight.
That's right.
From the Chamber of Commerce Tuesday at Riverside Park. And then on Thursday, the Josephine County Parks Department is doing a concert at Tom Pierce Park. They call it Family Night, and it's been quite the success. Tamara has gave us good reports on that. It looks like it's a lot of fun. She's doing a really good job with that. I know Heroes Night was last weekend, and there was a fun superheroes and fun things there. But I encourage people. There's lots of opportunities. I know there's going to be music out at Lake Selmec. There's Merlin will be doing their concerts pretty soon. So lots of opportunities for music.
Yeah, and it is cooling down a little bit as this week is going to progress. So
we're supposed to have a 68-degree day. but with that comes thunder showers.
Yes. Yeah, there will be some precipitation. Well, I mean, good.
We'll
bring on the precipitation, maybe not the and no lightning, please. But yeah, the more of that we get, I know at this point it's not really going to turn too much around as far as, you know, we're not going to shift down to moderate at this point. But every little bit helps.
And then we have the Josephine County Fair coming, of course. That's going to be in about a month, I think.
Yeah, just about a month.
You guys
now.
Will be out there. You're always out there.
We'll be out there, having a grand old time with just my lands. Everybody who shows up for that, it's always
you do. You guys do a great job covering
thank
that.
Thank you. Yeah, we have fun, as does everybody else.
Everybody does, but that's what I was going to say. Start thinking about your growing. What's growing in your garden? What photography are you going to submit? What are you going to do? What are you going to do for the fair? Because that's the best time for community is showing off what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
Join some of those groups and get involved. Your livestock. There's so many assets to the fair. So besides just going and riding rides and watching concerts,
right?
Let's get engaged.
Yeah.
Do something healthy and wholesome for your family.
Yeah. It's always huge for those kids to put their blood, sweat, and tears in raising those animals throughout the year to have this culminate in the county fair. It's just a great time for them.
Definitely. Such important life lessons, too, from all of that well.
Yeah.
That's a vital element of our community, I think.
It is.
And really kudos to Tamara because they really changed the fair attendance when they quit charging the gate charge.
Mm.
Now it's free to get in, but the attendance has covered all of that. The attendance went way up, so it's been a big good thing.
Oh, good.
She's a great director. She does a fantastic job in parks and the fairgrounds.
Indeed. And here's to bigger crowds this year even.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. I just wanted to remind people as well how they can reach us at the courthouse. Of course, you know, you'd asked that earlier about how do people reach us. They can call us. They can come in and but they do have to remember they're not going to get to talk to all three of us at one time.
Right.
They will schedule your time accordingly because you're going to end up with 10 minutes with each one of us or 15 minutes, whatever it's going to take. And you can get on our schedule with our secretaries. They'll schedule each of us out so that you can only make one trip to visit all three of us at the same time. But we do have to meet you individually. But I was going to throw out that phone number, and it's 541-474-5221 that you can reach the commissioner's office and make an appointment. If you have things that are on your mind, something you want to bring up, we're happy to hear from you. We want to hear from you. We want to know what the public is thinking.
Yes, I know I've called in a few times, and she is incredibly helpful.
Great. Yeah, we have Cassie and Nicole in there, and they're both really helpful to the public. So.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, and helpful to us. You can email us anytime, and I'll give you my email. Commissioner email is rsmith@josephinecounty.gov, and they can give their emails because it's an easy way to reach us, emails.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, it's C. Martin. All of our, they all start with our first initial, last name, C. Martin.
G. Richardson.
@josephinecounty.gov.
Excellent. Well, we have just about 3 minutes to go here. Any final pressing thoughts before
I want to encourage people to realize county government is moving along. The little hiccups we may have had in the past were getting taken care of. I kind of look at county government like a big wheel. Mm-hmm. And we have a couple spokes that need to be tweaked, but overall, county government is actually working pretty well today.
That's excellent. I know you guys are getting a lot of stuff done, especially today, a lot on the agenda, but that is good.
We started in really quick. We had multiple meetings. We had extra admin meetings on Thursdays just to keep up in the beginning.
Right.
Those have dwindled off. We still have them on our agendas, but if there's nothing to bring forward, we have been able to eliminate a few of those, which has been kind of nice because then we can get into the deeper work that we all do with each department. We did talk a little bit about liaisons at our meeting previously, too.
Mm-hmm.
We decided we're going to do those on an as-needed basis. And we're going to do, for instance, Commissioner Richardson is the liaison right now for the airport
Right.
Either Commissioner Smith or I will be the liaison to Public Works as we transition to new employee, new staff, things like that, or in this case, bringing back staff. We want to give them the support, the needs, make those transitions as easy as possible. But they're on an as-needed basis. Of course, our elected officials, they do not need a liaison to tell them how to run their departments. They're elected officials, and they don't really want us to meddle. I mean, we have oversight. There's no question. We have oversight to that.
But of course.
How they manage their staff, is that's going to be up to them.
Yeah, so one of the things I'm looking at, creating more training opportunities for those managers and directors. I think that's an area where the county could do better, getting those people highly skilled in the roles that they're in. I think that's one of the things that it's not always top of mind because it's a long-term type deal. But being a manager or director, there are specific skill sets for that. Not everybody has those skill sets, and we need to make sure people in those positions have those skill sets and get the training they need to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And cross-train. We talked about that a little earlier, but that's that's one of the things that we have to do is cross-train our staff. When I've been out at Public Works, I've talked about that. You've got people that are key in your institution. You've got to be training them. Train up people. It makes your job easier, and it helps us for those transitions. It's really important.
Absolutely. Well, commissioners, thank you all three of you so much for coming on. Good to have you all three here. And, yeah, have a great day. I know you guys have a few meetings that are coming up in just 30 minutes.
We do. Here, so. Thank you. Thanks again.
Thank you, Joe, for doing this.
Yes, we appreciate you.
We appreciate you all as well. Thanks again. And that'll do it for this.